Blog Talk Radio.
While the preacher said, he said, I'm starting to box of God, learn these words instead. Go to the reflecting, my advice is free. There's a trick to Christian values, and it's compulsory. Stay frosty, that's what the preacher man said.
Stay frosty,
his words still bragging in my head. Can't control your future, can't control your friends in a world without end.
Stay frosty.
Heavy with the sands of time, he made me see. Same as Kabbalah day, but few it's free. God guides us on our journey, but careful with those feet.
Stay frosty
in a world without end.
Stay frosty,
like that ancient immortal said. Don't want him to get you go, don't show him where it's yet. And that's just what I did.
Stay frosty.
Woo! Look out!
Stay frosty now.
Use my hand, I won't look. Uh-oh! Stay frostiest the most. My brand new landlord proposed me a toast. My West Coast toast.
Stay frosty.
Chanting like a mantra. And there's nothing you can't handle. Far and wide, far as you ramble. Trust in our eyes. But tie up your camel.
My friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Join us at 7 o'clock on Mondays for Keeping It Brief, then come back later that evening and sit in with Luyu, and she brings you her Garden of Delights and Front Page Picks. Dip into Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And then on Wednesday, Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursday's a split between Inner Craft and Sullen Art and Double Helix with a phase hand up and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, split with Gray Eyes and Dan Howland from the Northern Climes, bringing Bad Company and Exploring Ephrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30, Tuesday through Saturday nights, Saturday mornings. Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday. Friday mornings are split between Echoes in the Dark and Break On Through with Pam, and Sit In with Aphasia and Babbler on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows, call to read your poems, and if you can do SoundClouds or recordings, please attach them to your poems. We'd be happy to hear you read your own words. Good evening, Jean. How are you doing?
Hello, Rex. I'm doing fine. Thank you. And how are you?
Good.
Good. Very good. Yeah, you always crack me up with that intro. Well, you got it down to a science. Definitely. So what's happening? Tell me about this group for tonight, because I don't know them at all. I know Van Halen, but I don't know the others, you know? So, I mean,
yes.
I'm halfway there. Halfway.
Well, this was Wolfgang Van Halen's solo album, his debut. He had finished it in 2017 after about a year of putting it all together. He plays all the instruments on the album, and he wrote all the music for the album. He put it aside in late 17 because he wanted to spend time with his father, Eddie, who was already ailing health-wise at that time. He died in October of 2020. So this came out in 2021. It's his first album. The second album is already out. That came out last year. But Wolfgang Van Halen, named after Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, one of Eddie's heroes. So,
right.
He got his introduction to music early. So one of the songs on this album, he's got a load of tape from back in the day as he was growing up. And his first introduction to music, was at 2 months old. He's sitting in his father's lap as Eddie's playing the piano, digging out some tunes.
Really?
So the music's in his blood. He's actually quite talented. He first started playing drums on his uncle Alex's drum kit as a 9-year-old. He got a few tips on how to play, a couple of lessons. He's basically trained himself to play. He does play bass. He plays electric guitar. He plays lead. He plays piano. And he also sings. His father bought him his first jump set at 10 years old. And then they built a little studio in his garage for them to jam together. What else we got? He got his introduction on stage in the early years, from 12 to 13, 14. He'd run on stage a couple times, see Dad, say hello, give him a kiss, and then move off the stage. He got his introduction on stage at the age of 16 in 2007 when he joined Van Halen as the bass player as Michael Anthony has been moved out. They toured together. The song that we opened with, it's called Stay Frosty. That whole album, that was the very last album for Van Halen, A Different Kind of Truth. It was a mix of songs that they wrote in the early years, somewhere between 73 to 77 before their eponymous album came out in 1978. These are all stuff that never saw the light of day until this album came out. And it was the only album Wolfgang played on as a member of Van Halen, because they did a split up in 2020 eventually as Eddie died. The band just split and they weren't going to go any further, much like what happened when John Bonham died with Led Zeppelin in 1980. When the art goes, you keep it as it was. What else we got? The reason I played this song is even though you heard David Lee Roth, Wolfgang actually did the arranging for this song. So I thought he's on the album. He's playing bass. He's also doing backup vocals, and he rearranged this song. So what you heard was Wolfgang's thoughts on how to put a song together. One of his first. Hell, he was only 21 at that time. So.
Right.
He has also. Where is it? He's also played on a couple of other albums with some other folks. He joined Mark DeMonte in his band after he left Creed and Alter Bridge. And he also hung out with Clint Lowry at Seven Dust for a little while. And then, I guess after Eddie died, he finally waited a little bit. The album was done, so he didn't want to make it as a note to Van Halen. The name Mammoth actually comes from that was the original name of Van Halen in 1973 to about 1975, and they changed it to Van Halen. Had a better ring to it. So as a kid, he'd always thought that was a great name. So he broached it to his father somewhere, I guess around 2016. He was kind of nervous, and his dad said, "Hey, I love it. No problem. Do it." So it's called that Mammoth WVH. So he's not wearing the moniker without advertising his own real name, so to speak. He wants to be seen as a musician past what his father accomplished. Although Wolfgang can play everything that his father did on guitar, Wolfgang can do on guitar.
Yeah. Good teacher. Good genes.
And we got a song later in the called 316. That's a note to Wolf's birthday. It's a little mix of what Eddie threw into different songs on solos over the years. I mean, it goes back into the 80s, but it was never named, and it was never given a home on anything except the live solos, and it found its way on the For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, and the 316 was given its name as a note to his son. And that's about it for now.
Okay, well, you know, sending out a little note.
Oh, yeah, one more thing. Also,
sure.
From around 1991 to about 2014, Eddie had been working with Peavey. That 13-year run was on making guitars. So in 2008, they were doing the Wolfgang series. In 2008, he named one of his custom guitars the Fender EVH Wolfgang. Kind of a gift. A note, parting note to for his son.
Yeah. I tell you. I don't know, man. A lot of stuff happening with this one. Dad and son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
before, after.
And a whole lot of stuff went on with the band, too. So.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite. The funny thing was, Wolfie, growing up, he was. Even though he had all this music going on around him, he didn't know his father was famous, so he was kept out of the limelight. He was kept away from the unnormality of what Eddie's life is.
Right.
So he's going out shopping for CDs one day, and he sees his father on the front of one of the CDs. So that's how he found out his dad was famous. This must have been, 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere around there.
Right. Yeah, well, that's a good note, because, you know, he learned in his own time, and, you know, he made it on his own merit, and I think that's wonderful. You know, he didn't just ride his father's coattails in that respect. You know, it wasn't a Van Halen thing, you know. So it's pretty good. Pretty good. Well, I was trying to drum up some colors. I think eventually we're going to get a couple.
Well, I guess we could hit on the fact that Eddie married Valerie Bertinelli back in the day.
Yeah.
She was on that disco One Day at a Time, I think it was, back in the late 70s. And Wolfgang got married last year. His wife's name is Andrea Alstop.
Nice. Hey, listen, we have a caller, Rex. I guess my begging and pleading in the room worked. Only kidding. So we have D.W. London joining us. So hello,
yeah.
Dan, and how are you tonight?
Hi. How you doing? You're right.
Good.
Welcome aboard. How you doing,
Dan? I'm good, thanks. Yeah. What's crackalacking, LMP? Respect out to the family. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell the truth. Yeah, I sent him an invite and said, I sent you an invite, by the way.
Hint.
Yeah.
Elbow, exactly. Nudge.
Exactly. Yep. See, you're quick. You understand. That's exactly what that was. Oh, my God. Yes. So, well, anyway, we're happy to have you here, honest. It's fun to have another voice and someone who can make good comments and reads well. So, we like that.
Thanks.
So, yeah. So, what do you think, Rex? Am I supposed to do some work now, or do I just get to sit here, or are you going to tell me some more stuff?
Sure. Why not? Let's kick it into gear and have some fun.
Okay. Well, I'm going to kick it into gear. The first song we're going to play tonight is You're to Blame. See? You're to Blame. I'm not taking the rap on this one. Just say it. And here we go.
Thank you.
That's a nice hard rocker. Kind of the tale of somebody that Wolfie was trusted and loved betrayed him and the outcome. So it is kind of deep in that respect.
Right. That's a good one. Okay, Rex, well, you know, I always like to put you up first. So I'm going to have you read You're to Blame by Rodrigo 22 whenever you're ready.
Oh, yeah. Rodrigo's a new one to me, so welcome, Rodrigo, and thank you for your entry.
Absolutely.
We've got You're to Blame by Rodrigo 22. Against constant attacks, I relented. My silence worn like a heavy cloak. My antennas twisting all the time, feeling at the air for fuming smoke. Unsettling feelings, my fidgety guts, a banging pan like a first artillery shot. Counting my attempts at diffusing smiles, seeing the straight face as a pending rap. So many little signs I willingly ignored, dining my instincts I prolonged the peace. Kindness increased while set your deficit, nerves jangling at your forehead creep. It took so many sustained inflicted injuries, finally overcoming dysfunctional defense. Too many varied barrages hit my thought form, destroying my heart with fearful suspense. I know now it was doomed from the start. What I saw as failure now bears no shame. The battles were always and ever uphill. My retreat is eternal, and you're to blame. And boom. Nicely done there, Rodrigo. Dan, why don't we start with you, please? Dan, you're mutating?
Yeah, did anybody else get like horrible feedback all the way through that?
I don't hear not to me.
Can you go to someone else first? Because I've got some audio issues. I'm just going to, sorry.
All right,
I'm going to read it though.
You.
Throw me under the bus. It's okay. I'll get even, Dan. I'll get even. I thought this was a great rhyming poem, and it was very, I don't know if I want to use the word poignant, but it's very direct at this time, you know, obviously in wartime. It took so many sustained inflicted injuries, finally overcoming dysfunctional defense. Too many varied barrages hit my foxhole, destroying my heart with fearful suspense. You know, he really described this very well throughout, you know, how he felt and the anxiety and the anxiousness, you know. But the ending stanza, I know now, it was doomed from the start. What I saw as failure now bears no shame. The battles were always and ever uphill. My retreat is eternal, and you're to blame. You know, he definitely turned it around and put it in the right direction, you know, and as to what he was thinking, so... I think it was well done. And Rodrigo, it was good to hear this from you, and I hope to hear more from you. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you, Gene. Yes, he took a great note and dug deep into the song for its meaning and came up with the angle of what it was. And even though he's got that picture up top with a soldier with sandbags and a 50 cal on guard duty, so to speak, this does walk a duality. You can walk at that angle, right, with the thoughts of war, but even with the note to the fuming smoke, first artillery shot, the foxhole, and all that, that could be easily represented metaphorically as the sense of self. So this could work on a singular note to somebody feeling that heavy note of betrayal because of what someone has done to them in the moment. So it does have an idea that it can walk a couple of angles and fits both ends. I like that note, a banging pan like a first artillery shot, and that kind of the hair standing up on the back of your neck, and you're all crap. And you know something's coming, but you don't know what, because you've got those diffusing smiles. And then I thought, so many little signs I willingly ignored, stymieing my instincts, I prolonged the peace. Kindness increased to offset your deficit, nerves jangling at your forehead crease. Ooh, that forehead crease, not just the parallel lines, but that note of the when somebody gets really miffed, you get that bulging vein that pops in the forehead and pulses. You know shit's happening.
Well, Rex, you know what they say, right? You know what they say, love is the battlefield. Remember that.
Yeah.
Very true.
And then it walks the same angle. I know now it was doomed from the start. What I saw as failure now bears no shame. The battles were always and ever uphill. My retreat is eternal, and you're to blame. There's that quiet note to devolving into self, so to speak, protection mode. So, nicely done there, Rodrigo. Thank you very much.
I've read it, though.
Absolutely. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot. You didn't go first.
Yeah, I read it now. Yeah, it's a really great piece, isn't it? It does, when you first look at it, it looks like a war poem, but then when you really read it, it's about more about love, isn't it? It's about the lack of, rejection and the use of like words like foxhole, which, where it's like he's hiding in a foxhole, but still being pelted with things and doomed from the start. It speaks of a relationship that's ended badly to me. I liked it. Very good break. Sorry about the audio issues.
Oh, that's all right. It happens.
Yeah. I'm going to try and remember to mute myself more and see if it's me or we can get rid of some of the sound. I hate to say that. Okay. Yes, the next poem I'm going to put up is called Don't Blame Me by Betty Page. We all know I like the title.
Me.
Okay, so here we go, and I'm going to give this one a read. Don't blame me. Don't you blame me. No, I did everything I could, and it meant nothing. Don't you blame me. No. Sure, I'd help you. Yes, I would. But would it matter? Don't you blame me. No. When you slight me with your tongue, with all your gossip. Don't you blame me, no. I fight back. It's only fair. Now you play victim. Don't you blame me, no. It's because I found someone else who really loves me. Don't you blame me, no. You create your own chaos. Then say, I'm crazy. Don't you blame me, no. Don't you blame me, no. Don't you blame me, no. I'm not the one who's lazy. Don't you blame me, no. I did everything I could and it meant nothing. Don't you blame me, no. Sure, I'd help you, yes, I would. But would it matter? Don't you blame me, no. When you slight me with your tongue, with all your gossip. Don't you blame me, no. I fight back, it's only fair. Now you play victim. Don't you blame me, no. Because I found someone else who really loves me. Don't you blame me, no. You create your own chaos. Then say, I'm crazy. Don't you blame me, no. Don't you blame me, no. Don't you blame me. No, I'm not the one who's crazy. End poem.
Great reading. Thank you very much. There's a nice deep note in this one. What do you think, Dan?
Yes, I thought it was, firstly, funny. It was quite funny in parts, and but it's just someone that's just had enough, isn't it? It's just someone that's, everyone's been in that world. I don't know, not everyone, but... A lot of people have been in that situation where you've been with someone so long and you just fed up with their bullshit. Sorry, but I said on the radio. Sorry. You just fed up with their... Sorry. And you just like, no, so blame me. And it's a bit of gaslighting going on in the middle here, Tried to blame me and what's this? Make out it's my fault or something. I can't remember what the exact words were, but I can't find it out. But yeah, there's a bit of gaslighting going on in there, and this person's just had enough. This person's not having it anymore, and that's it. I like it. It's a nice, nice, serious issue looked at in a nice, comedical way. I like it. Pretty good.
I like that. Thank you, Dan. All right, Gene, you got to... read it. What about you?
I don't know. I felt like I was reading it wrong, but hopefully it didn't sound too terrible.
You read it good.
I just kind of felt like it should have been. I wasn't sure if it was a parody or spot on or whatever it was. and I couldn't like get a rhythm going. But I thought it was a great piece by Betty, and I said, give them hell, girlfriend. I thought it was a great take on the prompt, and I wanted to thank her so much for the share. And I picked up the last, three stanzas and her final line, I'm not the one who's crazy. And, yeah, I agree with you, Dan, that there's a bit of gaslighting going on here. You know, you want to talk about me and point the finger at me and tell me I'm the one who's crazy. You know, after you hear that so long, you start to believe it. And I thought it was really well the way she handled it. So, great job, Betty.
You start
Betty,
to believe it or you have enough in it completely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I really appreciate you, Betty. So thank you so much. Great to hear from you as always.
Yeah, love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think the starting off each stanza works the same because you roll in, don't you blame me, no. You know, that nice definitive note. And then you get the inference of everything that rolls through it. I did everything I could and it meant nothing. Sure, it helped you. Yes, I would. But would it matter? So those notes to being the helping hand in the moment, yet being slapped as well. And Dan, you hit on that note of being gaslit. And that rolls into this too. But I also like how the end lines kind of run as a deeper thought with inside as well. And it meant nothing, but would it matter with all your gossip? Now you play victim. Who really loves me? Then say I'm crazy. Don't you blame me? No. There is a heavy note, not just the gaslighting, but manipulation, the taking advantage of as well. And this could be a singular person, could be a number of people. So nicely done, Betty, and thank you very much.
Right, absolutely. Okay, Jim, well, that brings me to you. And this is Can't Get the Stain Out by JAG325. So whenever you're ready.
Can't Get the Stain Out by JAG325. Okay. Spilled ketchup on my old T-shirt. Tried to wash it a bunch of times. Red blobs staring with angry eyes, victim to a dark kitchen crime. So I threw it in the garbage can to join my dinner's rotten trout. That's what we do to our dreams when you can't get that stain out. I remembered your recent call about meeting somebody new, tossing me out like a Hallmark's card into the bin of fools used by you. 2 years pass, your face lingers. A dark smear on romance's root. I tried to bleach memories away. Sometimes you can't get the stain out. Himbo.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, Gene. What do you think of this one? Are you going to mutate already? Gene? Oh, okay. I like the metaphorical angle drawn on this. That note to the catch it stain on your T-shirt. You can never really get it out because it sinks deep into the cloth, just as the pain seeps deep into one's soul, one's skin, one's heart. And Jed kind of hits on that with that red blob staring with angry eyes, victim to a dark kitchen crime. Oof, kind of that. What's that note? We need to talk moment, and all of a sudden it turns into ugly because everybody knows what we need to talk means. The shit's rolling downhill. And that note to being thrown in the garbage can, my dinner's rotten trout, and I like that thought. But the one that really hit hard is that I remembered your recent call about meeting somebody new, tossing me out like a Hallmark card into the bin of fools used by you. Ooh, that's a hard note to reality slapping you quite squarely in the face and understanding. You might have wanted to listen to what people were saying back in the day, but hard lesson learned. And Dan, you got to read it. What do you think?
Like what you think, really, pretty much. So you can't get the stain out sometimes, you know. That's right, you know. Sometimes it's... You can't get rid of that memory. It's stuck in your head. And no matter how much drinking and whatever you do, you know what I mean? It just never goes. You know, sometimes that happens. It's happened to me. Yeah.
And this part in the middle, I remembered your recent call about meeting somebody new, tossing me out like a Hallmark card. Indifference, right? That's right. That's that reeks to me of indifference, you know? There's nothing worse than indifference, you know? Like, love me, hate me, scream at me, punch me, you know, get mad at me. But don't ignore me, you know? Don't be indifferent to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of cold.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. And Gene, what about you?
Yeah, sorry about that. I put a note in the room, but apparently I didn't do it quick enough.
I picked up quick.
I thought it was a good piece by Jag. You know, some people, they come into your life and they just kind of leave a mark. And it's not always a good mark, but it's a mark. So I liked his metaphor about can't get the stain out. Because sometimes it's really hard to shake them loose and to get rid of that feeling and that, I don't know, the stain they've left on you. You know, it's like you think, and it hangs with you and it lingers. And finally, you just throw the shirt away. You know, that's the way I see it. But good job, Jag, and thanks for sharing with us.
All right.
I know a few people like that as well, you know, just keep turning up. What? Call them bad pennies, but yeah, can't get the stain out, works too.
Yep. Okay, the next song I'm going to play is called Feel. So, here we go. good one.
Good one. Well, good, a couple good. Of songs, it's already good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A little different than what we normally do, and that's good because that's what we need. You know, that variation makes it great, you know. Okay, Rex, well, I'm coming
yeah,
back to you.
It's not really obvious that you that he's Eddie's son, but
yeah,
he
right.
does play, especially considering he plays every instrument and does all the vocals on this album itself. So it says
yeah.
a lot to how good the kid is. So.
It's a lot of talent. Absolutely. Okay, Rex, well, look, I'm bringing it back to you to read. And
okay, okay.
The next piece is by Lockdown Larks and it's called The Play. So whenever you're ready.
All righty. The Play by Lockdown Larks. How can anyone sense or see the essence of a presence near? Who knows if it was meant to be, that it is the time of where? It's a long, long way to play this game, but a card you must play if you are to light a flame. Should you climb into this heart, risk all to find if you belong. Connecting is the only way to start, and trust you share a caring song. It's a long, long way to play this game, but a card you must play if you are to light a flame. And when it's wrong, what to do? Will you walk away from destiny? Finding out, is it me or is it you? Talk it through to find clarity. It's a long, long way to play this game, but cards you must play to avoid taking the blame. Today is just one journey. Time is there to walk a while. Trust that what your senses see, whether it is trial or a smile. It's a long, long way, but a card you must play. It's a long, long way, but cards you must play. And boom. Aha. Lark's taking a different track. Nice. Nice. Thank you, Lark. All right, Gene. Why don't we start with you? Maybe.
Sorry. Trying to make sure we don't get any crazy feedback on my because of me. But I think that, as always, you know, Lockdown Larks always writes lyrics. And I think he does a fine job with that. Someday we're going to find him some music to go with him, I swear. But how can anyone sense or see the essence of a presence near? Who knows if it was meant to be, that it is the time we're. It's a long, long way to play this game, but a card we must play if you are the light of flame, or if you are to light a flame. I think his rhymes are always good throughout. He always has a story that runs through the lyrics he writes, and I like that as well. And I think it was a good take on the prompt. So nice job, Lockdown Larks, and thanks for sharing. Always appreciate you know, your work on Sundays. Great stuff.
All right. Thank you, Gene. And Dan, how about you?
I feel he's almost like hinting at opportunity, you know, with the, if you are to light a flame, you know, like in life, life's a gamble, you know, you have to play a card, you have to take a chance. Every opportunity that you don't take the chance is an opportunity automatically missed, right? You know?
Yeah.
So unless you actually take that opportunity, you never know, you know what I mean? That's the thing, and you know, you have to take that chance, play that card, you know. That's what I got from it anyway. Like, no matter how many times you fail, just keep playing that card until you win, you know.
Absolutely.
Kind of, in a little way, this reminds me of Kenny Rogers, of that Kenny Rogers song, you know, The Gambler.
Oh, okay, yeah. You gotta know when to hold them, gotta know when to fold them.
When to
walk away. Yeah.
And when to run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
it's also on that note as well. You play with the cards you dealt, and if you don't take the chance, whether it's about love or work or some other angle that you're working on at the moment, if you don't take that chance, the regrets hold in later on down the road. But I like his chorus notes, because he hits on the first two walk the same notes. It's a long, long way to play this game, but a card you must play if you are to light a flame. He did that twice. Then the last two are mixed a little bit different. It's a long, long way to play this game, but cards you must play to avoid taking the blame. and then the finishing of it's a long, long way, but a card you must play. It's a long, long way, but cards you must play. Bringing in that note of you've got to take that step, that first little tidbit of chance if you want something out of the angle that you're working on, whether it's love, whether it's work, or something else. You got to play those cards. And like you said, Dan, sometimes they don't work, but you don't know if you, unless you take that chance.
That last part, I sort of put it like... if you don't play any cards, you take the blame. It's like the people that kind of don't ever do anything in life, just sit on the sofa. They do kind of take the blame, you know? It kind of works, anyway. Yeah, that was the metaphor I had going in my mind, anyway, from that, yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, and great comments, by the way, Ian, as well.
Hey, you're no slacker there. You're dropping in good, too, so...
Yeah.
We enjoy having somebody helping us out.
Always. It's nice to have someone that can read and comment. It's always a great refresh. It's refreshing sometimes because sometimes it's just me and
sometimes Rick. Sometimes depends on what's weed or smoked.
we do meet Gene and the other hosts. We do this often enough. Every now and then we get into that little spot where. We don't have the mojo in the moment, so to speak.
That's usually me. I'm the no mojo. That's me.
Oh, yeah, Jim. You're such a slacker.
I am. But I have a voice tonight. I have a voice.
Hallelujah.
I didn't think that was ever going to happen again. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's only been a month.
I know. It's been a solid month. I've been sick and no voice and then we had all this growth with Blog Talk before that. I'm like, gee whiz. I don't feel like I've done the radio very much in like the last 2 months. It's been great. On vacation. That's what happens when you make the big bucks. Okay. On that note now, I'm going to put up this piece. And I'm going to give this one a read. And I should apologize ahead of time to Stelina. This is called Reborn by Stelina. So, let me see what I can do here. Now, I noticed in her author's notes that she said we, and I'm not exactly sure where I read that. Oh, no, that was your words, Rex. Never mind. I thought maybe this was like an oversight on me for a darn collaboration, and I was like, darn, I can't find it. Okay, so here we go. It's called Reborn by Stelina. Welving dormant within me lies the eternal ache for you. A feeling which refuses to douse its fervent flame. A conflagration of desire as your eyes look into my dreams. I feel your breath and dawn's fresh breeze warming me. Closing my eyes, I feel your caress moving over my yielding flesh. Your lips pressing down on mine in passion's reverie. And I feel reborn. In my naivety, I believed that these feelings were long gone. Stolen away in years of wanting. Frozen, insentient was I. Yet you were the renaissance of those long forgotten yearnings, reanimating the girl who once danced through life's chasms, painting my gray washed world with vibrant hues, plucking my heartstrings with love's sweet melody, and I feel reborn. I hear you whisper your wondrous words of poesy upon my mind, which arouse my senses to a climax of dewy delight. As in night's embrace, I recline restlessly with empty arms, weeping for the nearness of you, the scent of you, the feel of you. You have awakened love's voice within me once more to sing a dulcet duet with my poignantly pinned heart, and I feel reborn. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Dan, what do you think of this piece?
Oh, sorry, I'm muted again. Sorry, yeah. I just love Stelina, man. She's amazing. She just writes like so well. I've already commented on this one, I think, like last week, or a few days ago, whenever it was. But this is it's just the way she tells a story all the way from the beginning to the end, you know, and beautiful words that just fit you know, nothing's out of place there, but with Selena, it's, I love it. I mean, she's awesome. So, about the actual poem though, wondrous words of poesy upon my mind, which arouse my senses of, to a climax. I mean, it's like she's either missing someone, or like someone's died, or maybe like someone's away. I don't know. It's like sort of that longing you get. Like, she's just described it perfectly. You know, that longing feeling in your chest that you get when you really miss someone. Selena deserves an award, in my opinion. But yeah, that's a pass the mic. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. You got to read this one out here.
Well, you know, Selena has such a wonderful way of writing her poetry. You know, she always has some alliteration in there. And this is a little softer than some, with not quite as much, but it's still there. And it just, I don't know, it's subtle. And I thought that she did a wonderful job with this. You know, each stanza in itself is just so well written. I'll go with the last one because I could grab any of the three. And I hear you whisper your wondrous words of poesy upon my mind, which arouse my senses to a climax of dewy delight. As in night's embrace, I recline restlessly with empty arms, weeping for the nearness of you, the scent of you, the feel of you. You have awakened love's voice within me once more to sing a dulcet duet with my poignantly pinned heart, and I feel reborn. You know, I like the repetition of "and I feel reborn" in each one of these stanzas, because, you know, it definitely, I don't know, it packed a little bit of a punch in that one line, because, you know, I get it. You know, I have to say I found that relatable. You know, some people, you know, they talk to you and you talk to them and you get closer and all of a sudden you just, I don't know, you feel reborn, you feel alive. And I think that was a wonderful way to do it. So great, Selena, excellent as always. I wish you'd had a SoundCloud so I didn't have to like kind of use this voice in that book.
You did great. It was all right.
Thank you, hon.
You're right, Dan. You did a good job. I think it's those two opening lines which kind of set the pace for the first two stanzas. Welcome dormant within me lies the eternal egg for you. And then in my naivete, I believe that these feelings were long gone. Carefully chosen voice. Kind of hits on that note of Browning. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Except the voice holds a lot more clarity and there's a deeper tone, a sensual note that is both self-aware and inviting. It hits on the idea of especially that second stanza. Stolen in years, stolen away in years, wanting frozen in sentient desire. You were the renaissance of the long forgotten yearning, reanimating the girl who once danced through life's usance, painting my gray washed world with vibrant hues, plucking my heartstrings with love's sweet melody, and I feel reborn. But that second stanza hits on the note of you kind of, the first one bites at a little bit of a longing. The second one rolls into that note of the depth of the voice itself. And then the third one hits the pleasant note of what is really going on. I hear you whisper your wondrous words of poesy upon my mind, which arounds my senses to a climax of dewy delight. As in night's embrace, I recline restlessly with empty arms, weeping for the nearness of you, the scent of you, the feel of you. You have awakened love voice within me once more, to sing a dulcet duet with my poignantly pining heart, and I feel reborn. There's a song in this one, too. Got back to back on that note.
Absolutely.
Hey, what do you think about a Bette Midler in this one?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she definitely did an excellent job. I do love Selena's work. You know, she's really good. Really good.
Yeah. I said it in the comments like a few days ago. I said I think she's one of the best poets on the site.
She definitely has a way. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. You know. Her background definitely puts her into that note of not just language for today, but she draws heavy on older language which offers up a note to the voice you play down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Now, the next song I'm going to play is Don't Back Down. Don't Back Down. Yes.
Don't Sack Down.
That is not what I said, Dan.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to put it up. And here goes.
Hey, Wolf.
Hey, fellas. Where's Wolf at?
He's in there.
Cool.
Hey, Wolf.
Hey, Wolf.
Wolfgang. Where's Wolf?
Sorry. Waiting on you guys.
was a rocker.
How was that?
Perfect. That was money. Come on in.
Holy shit, that was terrible. We can fix that, right?
Oh my god.
I forgot about that. If anybody, you go to listen, see the video. It starts off with a Wolfie walking into the studio, saying hello to Wolfie, and Wolfie in the studio in the back with the layout boards. Then he goes in the studio and says hello to Wolfie on guitar, Wolfie on bass, and then asks him, "Hey, where's Wolfie?" The drummer's not there yet. It's on that idea of the band dynamic and how sometimes things don't work the way you want to. And then you heard that note in the back end. Hey, holy shit, can we take that out of there? Because the sort of the art of production, so to speak. Nicely done. I enjoyed that
video. Absolutely. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is called Everybody's Crazy by Naomi Serra. And I have an audio for this. So here we go. Just got to hit the button.
Everybody's crazy. Insanity was my curse, the thing I feared most. But I didn't back down. I just breathed it all in. And I'm cured now. I finally understood there are voices inside everybody's head. We're all radios, but some of us have the dial turned way up high. Mine talks to me in the first person. I'm always the hero in every story. I'm mad, you say? Well, I bet I live more fully than you in your dreary, mundane world. If I have delusions, they are no more than your black and white daydreams with an extra kick of pop art color. I'm stone cold sane, I say. In fact, I'm safer from madness than any of you all. You can still fall, still become lost in the mental maze, but I can't. I have learned how to ride it. See, now I'm at the top of the Ferris wheel, taking in all these new fantastic views of life. And you? Are you barely breathing, pretending you are living, wasting slowly away till you cave over and die? They say genius is woven into insanity, so I choose to become a genius instead of one of you crazies. See now, how clever am I?
Great read, Naomi. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And the funny thing is, I could actually see Harley Quinn uttering up these notes and with a little bit of twisted, like a Naomi came up with. Yeah, I'm not mad. All right, Gene, we're going to start with you. But you got to unmute tape first.
I hate when I do that. I do. This is a great poem here. I got a chuckle out of it because it's like, yep, don't back down. Yeah, I am what I am, and that's the way that I am, and I'm okay with that. And anybody who thinks differently of me and thinks that it's a bad thing, ha, I don't agree. I'm going to stick with it. So, I mean, I love, you know, Naomi's got a way of, she really puts the emphasis in her voice and makes it work, you know, and she did it so well. If I have delusions, they are no more than your black and white daydreams with an extra kick of pop art color. I'm stone cold Satan, I say. In fact, I'm safer from madness than any of you all. I mean, she really defended her position. And God bless her. I thought that was good. I thought it was just well put together and clever. So it was a really good take on the prompt. And Naomi, great job. Appreciate the share.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. Dan, how about you?
Well, this is kind of like you said in it, it's like Harley Quinn, like Naomi Quinn. Yeah. Basically is, right? It's like someone who's been there, someone who's been to the edge of insanity and put color on it, you know? And just, now it's their bitch, you know what I mean? You tamed insanity and you're riding the wave, you know? And nothing can stop you then, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the way I see this poem. It's like someone that's conquered their mental illness, you know, in a way, like they've been there and then now they're invincible because nothing affects them anymore. They know how to deal with it. They know how to cope, you know, and there's nothing more powerful than self-belief, you know.
Yep. I like that. And she does hit on that note. Everybody's crazy. You notice the only ones who say they're sane are the ones that are locked up in the insane asylum because they found their escape. It's us on the outside that are crazy because we're actually living it and dealing with it all in the moment.
Yeah.
But I did like how she rolled up on her voice. I just breathed it all in. And now I'm cured.
Yeah.
And she did it with a couple of things. There are voices inside everybody's head. We're all ready, but some of us have the dial turned way up high. Awesome. She did emphasize some kick points, which had me thinking of Polly Quinn. Yeah, I see her reading this and saying this. And, yeah, that's who I am. Don't you see?
Yeah.
Can't you? It's the game. We all got to have it. We're all on the same. Won't get this to Naomi. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and this other stanza here, Rex. You can still fall, still become lost in the mental maze, but I can't. I have learned how to ride it. Okay,
yeah.
Go for it, girl. She's good. She's good. Okay, let me see now. And the next piece I have for this one is called Desert by D.W. London. And I wonder who that is. But I have an audio for this.
Oh, this was a little rushed, you know. It was like, I had 5 minutes to do it, so.
Well, that's all right. Oh, we have a caller. Hey, guess who's joining us? Hey, Grace. Welcome to the party.
Hi, Phil. Thank you.
Hey, Grace.
Good to hear you.
Hey, Rex.
Hi, man.
How are you? Is that you, DW?
Yeah, man. How you doing?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm good, thanks. I didn't realize you had such a deep voice.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all good.
Couldn't get through last night. Absolutely. Okay. Well, you're just in time to hear DW's audio, so let me put it up, and it's called Desert. Here goes.
Don't back down, yeah? No retreating. This is a glorious clash of minds meeting, like particles accelerated, heated and scrambled, forever joined, infinitely entangled. Don't run away, you were born for this. Truly, it's futile for you to resist. We both realized from our very first kiss, the energy, serenity, the perfect bliss. Don't give up on us now, you know I'm your dude. We can run away from our families, it's their feud. If you leave, it will cause us both so much pain. I'd be nothing but a desert deprived of rain. If you want to fight them, I'll stand at your side. Together we'll battle until our love survives. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. Just don't make me live my life alone without you.
Bravery, Dan. Thank you for the sound crown.
Thanks.
Very much appreciated. And Grace, thanks. Since you just came in, we're going to start with you, please.
Yeah, well, you have an amazing reading voice, DW.
Thank you.
You know, but your poem really captures the talk quite beautifully. You know, you brought it into your own with your writing, and I enjoyed the whole thing thoroughly, but I really enjoyed Don't Give Up on Us Now. You know I'm your dude. We can run away from our families. It's their feud. If you leave, it will cause us both so much pain. I'd be nothing but a desert deprived of rain. I mean, you know, that's dry and arid and without any life, you know, really, except for the ground dwellers, and who wants to be surrounded by that? But no, it was really an epic write and an epic read, so great job.
Nice.
Thank
you,
girl.
Thank you.
Gene, we're going to start coming back to you.
See, I want you all to notice that even Rex forgets my name. He doesn't know what he wants to call me either. I'm sure there's a few things he wouldn't say on air. Anyway, you know, I really like this, Dan, very much. I loved your take on the prompt, and I think, you know, you really hit the notes of that really well. I had a laugh because as I was reading it, I'm going, God, this gives me a little vibe of Romeo and Juliet. When I looked down in your AN, I went, okay, cool. At least I wasn't crazy, you know. But I have to read Naomi's poem again when I get those feelings. You know, it's like this. Don't give up on us now. You know I'm your dude. We can run away with from our families. It's their feud. If you leave, it will cause us both so much pain. I'd be nothing but a desert deprived of rain. If you want to fight them, I will stand at your side. Together we'll battle until our love survives. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. Just don't make me live my life alone without you. I thought they were great lines. I loved the rhyme in it. I really did. And I like that unified front, you know. Come on, I want to be with you. You want to be with me. We can stand up and not back down from everybody else and what they believe. And we can make this work together. And I thought it was really, really a nice piece. So great job and a great audio.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
I got to start with that picture. I like that note, the desert scenery with a house that is empty and unbuilt. So it offers up that notion of, hey, we have to start somewhere, so to speak. And I, too, got that Romeo and Juliet vibe. But I like the note that you threw in with Star Trek, The Next Generation, and the Borg mentality. It's futile for you to resist.
He caught that one, huh?
It's kind of, hey, we can do this. We are one mind, one body, so to speak. I like that. A little touch of humor. But I also, that note too, I'd be nothing but a desert deprived of rain, was a nice injected note of what she bleeds upon you in that love note. And then that last stanza hits on that angle. We'll battle until our love survives. That note to that stand, the great stand, where we'll take on all forces side by side, so to speak. I like that. It was nicely done. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Great piece.
Can I say a couple of things about it?
Yeah.
Right, basically, right, when the competition came up and then that, I read that prompt. I wanted to write a really angry, sweary, like, piece, right? But then he said it was for the early show. So I was like, all right, okay, back up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In the whiteboard. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then I just wrote that one in like 5 minutes. Like, I don't know. I only had like 5 minutes left to write it. I just wrote it quick, and then that was it. Really, it was, I don't think it's my best work, to be honest. But I mean, if other people like it, I get it. I mean, but yeah. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Well, you hit the right tone with it. It worked very well.
Absolutely. Okay, so. The next prompt I'm going to play is A Beautiful War, but no, I'm not. Not doing that. That's wrong. I'm going to play Epiphany. That was an epiphany. Okay, here we go. Let me hit the button.
Try so hard, it's down the lane.
Opie says that song is the best representation of Mammoth, and it's always the song that goes to play that show.
Yeah. Great song. Now, Gray, this is going to bring me to you. And this poem is called A Beautiful War by Jody Mountain. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, so we have A Beautiful War by Jody Mountain. As the amorous light doth dance, whence blooms the battle across the field, I take my stands. Each heartbeat crafts an insatiable war, a cavalry of shadows ne'er explored before. In this tempest of roses and thorns, I reach silver spears of emotions so sharply breached. Dawn is my sword, enigmatic, gray. I brazen the battlefield and lead the way. Love, a beautiful war, as stars can attest with every breath. I'm armored in zest, sailing through storms of silk and fire. For every defeat ascends desire. In the vastness of stars, battles are found, leaving me half the man, picking myself up off the ground. Yet, as the crimson sun doth rest in the arms of night, I'm sleeping at last. I may be weary in the remnants of my form, a rallying cry thunders in the storm. For in the scars and healing, I find peace, stronger, humbler soul is released. Every beat paints the skies with motley shades of untold stories, tossing love's grenades. It is a combat refined, so sweet, where sorrow and joy discreetly meet. Love's sword may cut and beautifully scar, and every wound seems to tear my heart. Still, it is the path of the Stardust Trail, where winds of eternity passionately. With every wave of the celestial sea, love's beautiful war sets the spirit free. Half of the man, yet whole within, sleeping at last in love's soft den. In this battlefield so far and wide, I lay my sword and my pride aside. For in this beautiful war of the heart, I find my peace, my work of art, and poem.
Great read, great. Thank you very much. And Dan, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
Yes, yeah, a beautiful piece by Jody again. Always with the war, and the, it's like comparing war to love, you know. And basically, it's like that for some people, isn't it? Love is a war, it's a battlefield. You know, unfortunately, I mean, I think maybe if you're in that kind of relationship, you should maybe look somewhere else. But you know, it's not supposed to be like that, you know. But unfortunately, that's the reality for a lot of people, you know. Where love is like a minefield, where you've got to watch out for snipers and all sorts of other things. You know what I mean? Yeah, I get it. I get the meaning of the poem, and it's really well written as well. Great job, Jody.
Nice. Thank you, Dan. Jean, how about you? Oh, Jean, you got to unmute.
In it for her. Anyway, I'll just say it this way. I just start from the beginning again. I thought it was a beautifully worded poem, and I enjoyed the rhyme and meter throughout. I thought it was well expressed, and it was very emotive. I picked up these lines here, you know, I always got something to repeat, right? But I can't help it. I may be weary in the remnants of my form, a rallying cry, thunders in the storm. From the scars and healing, I find peace. A stronger, humbler soul is released. Every beat paints the skies with motley shades of untold stories tossing love's grenades. It is a combat refined so sweet, where sorrow and joy discreetly meet. Love's sword may cut and beautifully scar, and every wound seems to tear my heart. Still, it is a path of the stardust trail, the winds of eternity passionately. We've all had relationships, I think we all have, where it just didn't work. And, you know, sometimes it's ugly. And the thing is, even when it's over, no matter how angry you are, if you really tried or you thought about it, you know, you can look back and see the good in what was there at one time. It just kind of went to hell in a handbasket, really. And I think that basically is what I'm seeing in this poem. You know, it didn't end well, but, it's all about, you know, getting through it. And, yeah, it left scars, but part of it was good, you know. So I guess that's the way I see it. And I think Jody did a great job with this piece. I do like his writing. He's just, I don't know, it was a wonderful way of wording things. And he usually comes in from a direction that I'm not expecting. But as soon as he starts, I go, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I don't know. But I did like it very much. So great job, Jody, and thank you for the share. And a great take on the prompt, because it is an epiphany. Absolutely.
Gene, thank you. And Greg, you got the biggest. What about you?
Yeah, you know, it really brought back Pat Bennett's, our song, Love is a Battlefield, you know. I don't know why, but that's what came to mind as I read through it. I mean, you know, every day is a battle, regardless, you know, of what your situation is, whether you're in love or you're just living. It's a battle out here, you know, and it takes every bit of effort that you have to put into it and make it work and to have it last, you know. To get through to old age and, you know, hopefully survive your youth without being torn apart by it. And, you know, so that speaks to the relationship, you know, it's all rosy in the beginning, but you got to get through all the battles that come in between in order to have it last and be a marriage that survives life. And, you know, I really enjoyed that penultimate stanza. In this battlefield so far and wide, I lay my sword and my pride aside. For in this beautiful war of the heart, I find peace, my work of art. You know, when you can come to peace, you know, come to terms with a relationship that's gone bad and that you've lost, and take the lessons out of that, that's the whole thing about life is learning your lessons and carrying on. And, you know, try not to repeat the mistakes that you've made prior. So it was a fantastic write and a pleasure to read.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. Pat Bennett's song was a nice touch. I got a little bit of Emma Sinega Palmer's Lucky Man in this, too, even though that ended a little bit differently. But it does hit on that notion of if you don't take the chance, then you don't get the romance. So there is that note of bearing the sorrow and the pain to hit on the joy and the desire. And that second and third stanza, I thought those were really good. In this tempest of rose and thorns, I reach so the spheres of emotion. So sharply breached, drawn is my sword in this enigmatic fray. I brace in the battlefield and lead the way. Love, a beautiful wall, I start from a test. With every breath, I'm armored in death. Sailing through storms of silk and fire. For every defeat, ascend desire. So, Dirty, this is really good, and thank you very much. All right, Dean, we're coming to you.
Okay, kids, this next song I'm going to play is called Distance. And here we go.
Pull up to a...
Yeah.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you.
Meet me up in the storm.
We gotta clean up above the garage and build a little studio for you and me.
Yeah.
Or for you. Bye-bye.
When Wolfie played that for his father, Eddie cried after listening to that song. So it was a kind of a, and if you look at the video, it walks through the life of Eddie and Wolfie. I mean, his first introduction to music was in May of 91, 2 months old. He's sitting in his father's lap while Eddie's playing the piano. And you heard that note to we got to build a studio in the garage for your drum kit.
Nice. Okay. Well, here's the next piece that goes with that prompt. And this is called Rupture by Puddles 33. So there's the poem link. And here is the audio.
Rupture by Barb Christing. There's a rupture in the universe where you pierced the blanket of the stars, leaked your soul into a black hole to leave me stranded, alone. You didn't look back, just flew away to heal your scars in an empty expanse where pressure does not exist, where blood floats, where breath is choked from the thrashings cloaked by midnight's inky well in a sad farewell. That echoes, echoes, echoes in the galaxy's silent expanse. Your cries drifting in search of a heart that hears and understands, that can hold your memory close as you search for the words to explain your absence in the world you left behind, where I live and breathe and scream and cry and shake the earth and question why I wasn't enough. I just wasn't enough to make you stay. There's a rupture in my universe that can only be healed by you, but you have stepped into a black hole that echoes in my soul because I wasn't enough, just wasn't enough to make you try. There's a rupture, and your black hole has swallowed me, still wondering why I wasn't enough.
Great read, Puddles 33. Thank you for the time clap. Very much appreciated. And Dan, why don't we start with you, please?
This is a really great poem. I'm not really sure if it's about death or about someone leaving, but it's definitely about loss, you know, that feeling, the emptiness when someone's gone and you didn't want them to leave. The rupture in my universe that can only be healed by you. You know, it's got so much in it, this poem, from the start to the finish, really. The echoes, the galaxy's silent expanse, your cries drifting in search of a heart. I mean, it's just beautiful. It screams, it's like it doesn't let you know. It could be interpreted in many ways, I feel like. You know, like, I mean, you could just see this as a loss, or you could see this as the end of a relationship, perhaps, or a death. I mean, leaves the reader to paint their own picture, to insert their own reality in a way. You know what I mean? It's cleverly worded in a way that you can create your own narrative almost. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think that's the beauty in this, Dan, and that's a great observation because it does walk in a world where anybody can read this and attach it to however they're feeling, because she does offer up that note of pain and anguish, which walks on many levels. So, excellent comment. Thank you very much. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I said in the group there, you can feel his emotions. It's almost like he's personally connected and suffered this type of loss. You know, what I got out of it is... you just said in the group, a friend of mine at the age of 16 found her mom who had committed suicide. I knew her in her 40s, and she still asked why her mom killed herself. Wasn't any of her 6 kids worth living for? Wow. So that's the story of the poem. So that's just tragic. But yeah, you know, I mean, besides that, it is open to interpretation as far as whether it's somebody passing away or whether it's a relationship that's went south, you know. But you can feel his connection to the right in his read, which is, you know, not easy to do. I mean, to convey your emotions through a read is a talent that, you know, I guess is only expressed through connection to your right. So fantastic write and an excellent read as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you?
Oh, I did it again. I'm telling you. I thought it was wonderful. Yeah. Don't worry. The last one I won't forget. That's the way it works. But her audio was so well done. It was a painful piece, and I thought it was very well written. I think, you know, it was really heartfelt. I mean, I understand, you know, what she put in the room. But you could really feel the emotions in her voice and her words. This one here, there's a rupture in my universe that can only be healed by you. But you have stepped into a black hole that echoes in my soul because I wasn't enough, just wasn't enough to make you try. There's a rupture and your black hole has swallowed me, still wondering why I wasn't enough. You know, and considering the story, I mean, that's really a painful, painful thought. Because, you know, those ones that left behind, it's a transference of pain when someone commits suicide. they have pain here, and when they leave that pain with their loved ones, you know, and their friends, because they will stand there and go, yeah, you know, and it's hard. And I think that this is an absolute reflection of that. So, Barb, I think you did a fabulous job telling this story, you know, without actually telling the story. It was a beautiful job, and you handled it beautifully. So great job, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Jean. Great comments, everybody. And, yes, it's those lingering questions that leaves such an indelible mark upon the who's left to pick up the pieces afterward, which says a lot, because those questions, they forever sit on the soul, and they never get answered. And there's always that note of blame that gets shifted from one angle to the next, and that's not something that anybody should have to carry. So thank you, Barb. That was a wonderful piece. All right. Back to you, Jean.
Oh, well, Eugene is not here. You know, he just stepped out, and doesn't it just figure? The next song I'm going to play is called Walk and Talk. We're talking walk. I'm not sure which one. I think I saw it both ways today. So let me hit the button.
was a beast of a song.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. And I have a SoundCloud for the next poem. And this poem is called The Games Played with the Crowd by Pam Ray and Jody Melton. So let me put that up. And let me hit the button. I've got audio, yes.
The Games Played with the Crowd, a collaboration by Pam Ray and Trixie Ann. You let it loose and scream out loud, seeing your adoring fans in the crowd, believing that they worship you and all the lies that are construed. You feel so grand, larger than life, in a world that's filled with strife. You think you're the big cheese, bringing your followers down to their knees. Your lies are pretty, like pearls and lace. You slither like a serpent in falsified grace. Your rock and roll life is so fast-paced, you need to slow down and take a taste. Taste the unfolding and all it foretells. One man's heaven is another man's hell. Money and fame, sex is the game. You want the rewards, but none of the blame. Attention whore, looking for a score. Your every word keep stripping folklore. All this notoriety brings so much anxiety. Sacrifice your sobriety to live in high society. You're telling the tales that make you look grand, hyping the shite from behind the mic stand. Disqualifying the truth because it don't fit your scheme, killing the hope of a midsummer dream. Your last words sit on the edge of a well, secrets and wishes that you never could tell. No one to trust, nothing to hold, just the shifting of dust and fading full of gold. End poem.
Great read there, Trixie Ann, and thank you very much for your time, Pal Pam. We very much appreciate it. And Gene, I guess we're going to start with Gene.
Well, I have to apologize. I did not see it was Trixie Ann. I saw the audio done by Jody. And I saw Pam's name, and I assumed they were the collaborators. But so, Trixie Ann, thank you so much for working with our Pam Ray. I bet you it was scary. No, I'm only kidding.
Touché.
There's good stanzas throughout this whole piece, you know, as always. I have to say that. You know, you feel so grand, larger than life, in a world that's filled with strife. You think you're the big cheese, bringing your followers down to knees. Your lies are pretty like pearls and lace. You slither like a serpent in falsified grace. Your rock and roll life is so fast-paced, you need to slow down and take a taste. There's just so many, I don't know, it's just very well rhymed, it's very well said, and, you know, it has that little bit of edge that we're so used to with Bam, and Trixie fit in really well with that, so. Very, very nice collaboration, you guys, and yeah, pretty seamless. So very well done. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Gene. Great. How about you?
Yeah, you know, that was a great, great collab, and the read was awesome. But you know, sorry, I gotta get back to you here. I really enjoyed the whole thing. You know, the games played with the crowd, you know, so many people live in this surreality of being an attention whore looking for a score. Your every word keeps dripping folklore. All this notoriety brings so much anxiety. Sacrifice your sobriety to live in high society. Like, how many people in that high society are really effed up, you know, in the head and addicted to the high of, you know, just being in those circles and walking the walk and talking the talk, you know, but in reality, they're just standing on the edge, you know, and carrying secrets and wishes we could never tell, no one to trust, nothing to hold, just a shifting of dust and fading school school. It really was an epic collab and awesome read, so thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, that'd be great. And Dan, how about you?
To me, it seems like someone who's not angry, but someone who's disappointed almost with modern society in a way, like, because, you know, Instagram famous and all that these days, and you've got all these inflated egos of, you know, you've got all these kids with, you know, 5,000 followers or whatever, and they think they're Miley Cyrus, you know, or whatever. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's a certain anger. I'd say this, if I didn't know, I would say this was written by an older person, someone who remembers what it was like before social media. You know, that someone is angry at the way the world's changed in a way. That's what I got from it anyway. Yeah, I'll pass the mic, sorry.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It reminds me of two movies, Rockstar and Eddie and the Cruisers, but this hits on the idea of the front man, the one who's out on stage, the voice, the big cheese, so to speak, a Steven Tyler, David Lee Roth, a Jim Morrison, a Mick Jagger, that presence on the stage in the moment, taking up and sucking in everything that's around him in the moment. And what comes with that that notoriety, that fame, or that infamy, so to speak, and what it does to not just the band itself and not the singer, but also the fans. So nicely done. I like this was good. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
Okay. Okey-dokey. Well, the next piece, Rex, I'm going to ask you to read. And this is by Jessica C. Wheeler. And here we go. This one is called Candy Coated.
Candy Coated by Jessica C. Wheeler. Sweet words escape your honey-dipped tongue, luring listeners into scented clouds of cotton candy. Your promises glaze just thick enough to hook the heads held in your haze, rushed with sugar. Your hopes now high descend like rain when the layers lick clean, reveal your hollow words. Shattering worlds with your downpour, sowing lies that spoil the soil. And each rose that dares to bloom now reaches in shadows of fear, guards its trust behind sharp thorns, never to be touched. A scent sincere and sweet, never to be known. But the day is coming when you will know the bitter taste of karma as you choke on the rotted words beneath your candy coating. So, keep talking. End poem. And, Gray, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, you did a great read on that, Rex. But, you know, I liked it. I liked the title. Promises, your promises glazed just thick enough to hook the heads held in your haze, rushed with sugar. You know, when somebody's so sweet that you're getting high off of them, and, you know, in reality, it's just sour and distasteful. But, you know, and each rose that dares to bloom, now rooted in the shadows of fear, guards its trust behind sharp thorns, never to be touched. A scent sincere and sweet, never to be known. You know, somebody lived this tragic life and, you know, didn't realize that they were hooked on something that wasn't what it appeared to be. And it's just very tragic. So an epic, right? And a fantastic read, Rex.
Nice. Thank you, Greg. Gene, how about you?
Hang on, I think I'm muted. I am not muted. That scared me. I thought this was a great read by Jessica. Well expressed and a great take on the prompt. You know, I love her work and I love how she writes, but I'm just going to keep it short to this. But today is coming when you will know the bitter taste of karma as you choke on the rotted words beneath your candy coating. So keep talking. I love that. I think she ended this in a great way. You know, and you know, I have to say the prompt, talk and walk, reminded me of something I heard from a friend one time. Just smile and keep on walking and wave. Something like that anyway. You know what I'm talking about, Gray? I've heard that somewhere. Right, Gray?
Yeah, it's called smile and wave. Smile and wave.
And keep on walking.
Yep. And just keep walking.
Yeah. So I think it was just really well done by Jessica. So thank you for the share, Jess.
And Dan, how about you?
Hi. Great poem. Great job, Jessica. a great read as well. The first stanza kind of seems hopeful, you know, like this puts me in mind of someone who's in a relationship that wants it to work out well, that wants to be happy, you know. You know, so they're falling for the lies because they want them to be true. You know what I mean? That's what a lot of people fall into, I guess. You know, the lies are just thick enough to hook the heads held in your gaze. But, you know, and eventually, obviously, the trust is lost. And then I find, you know, in relationships, once the trust is gone, it's super hard to get it back, you know. Because I heard a quote the other day, actually. I can't remember where. But you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know. That just kind of reminded me of that a little bit. Sorry, I'm rabbiting. I'll pass the mic. Yeah, great poem there.
Thank you, Dan. It's that note of that silver-tongued devil who's always got the right words at the right moment, which keeps that illusion bright shining in the moment. And then that note, you got the come up on the back end of it. So, yeah, keep talking. I know where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay, guys, now I'm going to ask everybody to hang tough because I got one more. Well, I have two more, but I'm only going to worry about one. And this one, I'm going to play the song. It's called Think It Over. And here we go. Awesome.
Nice.
Yes, yes, yes. And for our last but not least poem, this is Run Baby Run by Gray Eyes Smith. Gray, whenever you're ready, man.
Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. Run Baby Run by Gray Eyes Smith. Run Baby Run. We dance like skeletons under a midday sun, coming apart at the joints, never being such fun. Everything fades to black, fading fast. Before darkness falls, can I ask, did anything ever mean anything to you? The I love you and the I do's. Yo, where did you go? Now I'm stuck here, crying in my beard. Where did you go? I guess I'll never know. Filled with regret, I'll never forget the words you said, like bullets repeatedly shot in my head. Hold your breath and float away, away. Tomorrow is another day. Too bad it went this way. Today, today. Hey, wake the F up. Not everything will be this rough. Was it ever enough? Is there any meaning in anything you do? Hold on. I'm stuck like a pig in the muck. Yo, where did you go? Leave me to weep in my sleep. Don't make me weep. Reality sucks. Let me dream on in a place where you are not gone. Run, baby, run. Don't use your words like a gun to leave my bones bleaching under a midday sun. All you love will fade to black. I know you are gone and never coming back. Hold on. I'm stuck like a pig in the muck. Where did you go? Gone. So long. Thinking things over. Gone. So long. Thinking things over. Gone. So long. Thinking things over. End poem.
Great read. Great. Thank you very much. And Dan, why don't we start with you, please? Did we lose Dan?
I don't know. Dan, are you muted, hon?
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
It was your turn.
Again.
it was your turn.
Just saying it's just kind of crazy, desolate, desperation kind of running through this, you know, kind of frantic, kind of I need answers, you know. Do you love me? Don't you love me? You know, are you coming back? Are you not coming back? You know, it's just this person seems to me like, oh, sorry, my phone. I don't know. I put it on flight mode. Sorry, I don't know why it's still making noise. Yeah. It just screams of like a desperate plea for some kind of information that's gonna help him make a decision on what he should do. That's what it seems like to me. Like someone who's very frantic and confused and, I've said that twice now, sorry. But yeah, you know what I mean? I'll pass the mic.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you, Dan. Gene, come on in.
Well, Gray, I thought this was nicely penned. You know, it was emotive. It was thought-provoking because your questions in there. Where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go? You know, it's run, baby, run. We dance like skeletons under the midday sun, coming apart at the joints, never been such fun. Everything fades to black, fading fast. Before the darkness falls, can I ask, did anything ever mean anything to you? The I love yous and the I do's. Yo, where did you go? Wow. It's that transition.
Boy, yeah, I was funky.
Transition of thoughts in here, you know, what it was, what it isn't, where is it going, you know, and what happened, you know, it asks so much. There's only a couple questions in here, but it extends for far past that, and it's obvious, and I think you did a great job expressing it. So I have to say it was a great take on the prompt, and Yeah, I think it was a well done job. It's the longest piece I think I've ever seen you write. So you must have been inspired by the prompt. And
it was a really great piece.
Yeah, really.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that.
I'm going to second and third that because this is definitely the longest piece I've ever seen from you, Gray. So it does emote quite a bit. That note to Run, Baby, Run says a whole lot. And that idea with the scalp, midday sun, joints coming apart. There's a note of dissolution of self in the moment. And the question of that, where did you go? Now I'm stuck here crying in my beer. Where did you go? I guess I'll never know. Is that that idea of all the questions that come with that note of no answers that come in the moment as to why she's gone or he's gone, and all of a sudden you're left with that emptiness, that soul crushing moment of loss and not no understanding at all. And that I'm struck like a pig in the mud. It's on that idea of not being able to move on because you're stuck without those answers. So this is a wonderful piece, Ray. And thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for the inspiration. Great band. I didn't realize that that was Eddie Van Halen's son.
Yeah.
Did you see Eddie Van Halen won the... he won the guitarist of all time, the best in Rolling Stone magazine. Best guitarist of all time.
One of the top three. So he kind of sits at an exalted level because his longevity and what he did for inspiration and music moving forward when it comes to guitar.
Yeah. No, Slash wasn't even in the top 10. I thought that was a bit wrong.
Yes, exactly. He sits in that realm with Hendrix, Jimmy Page rolls right in that note. I mean, Eddie went to a lot of Led Zeppelin concerts back in the day. You got a note to, wow, look at what he's doing and how he moved on forth too. So, all right. Great show, Gene. Thank you very much. Dan and Gray, thank you for sitting in. And...
thanks for inviting me.
Naomi, Pam, for the boys, thank you very much. You all were marvelous. And we'll do this next week again. We're doing the Divine. That's Bette Midler is on the board.
Yes.
Maybe I'll get some divine inspiration.
Yes.
Oh, there's some fun pieces in there, too, because I got two songs out of the new Hocus Pocus movie. Changed lyrics on a couple of older songs. Let's see. The Wicked Witches are back, and I forgot what the other song was already. Damn. Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Great topic tonight, Rex. Great prompt. And I look forward to the Miss M pieces next week. That'll be fun. So.
I think so.
Especially thank those you, Gray. Thank you, Dan.
I want to see who comes up with those two songs and has some fun with it, because the lyrics in those are really cool.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I want to see a couple tribute pieces to just Bette herself, because she was something. She still is something, but she was something in her day, back being all mad and devilish, my kind of girl. Anyway, it's a great show, a lot of fun. And Dan, thanks for taking the hint. I appreciated you coming. It was good.
Yeah, it was really a big hint. It wasn't hard to take, to be honest. But.
I have to try it again next week.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks
thank
for
you
inviting
so much.
I had fun. Anyway, it was great. It was great reading everyone's work. And there's some really great poems in this group.
Absolutely.
Some amazing people in this group. There really are.
Crazy.
You're welcome to carry that title with yourself, too. You're pretty awesome there. And it's been a pleasure getting to know you and sharing
you.
Your work. You know, you really have a talent for reading, you know, like your piece on
I'm just
that.
Mental,
I mean,
man.
You read on that.
I'm
cool.
Just nuts.
It's incredible. Love it.
That's what Naomi said. We're all crazy. Oh, God.
We're all crazy. All right. Cheers, guys. I'm going to log off then. Thank you very much.
All right.
Excellent, guys. Take
have
care.
A great
good night,
everybody.
You too.
Good night, everybody. Much
good
love.
Night.